See, we used to have the tape, and all I had to do is push a button up here and it would record. Or if I wanted it to play, I'd push play and it would play. But now then, I have to run all the way back there to the corner and push buttons and twist knobs and things like that. And I know nothing at all about what I'm doing. And I can't control the volume, the sound, or anything like that from up here. And I don't have anybody to ask. And that's the terrible thing, having to learn all by yourself. Anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. We've had a wonderful day so far because we have Brother John Gardner with us. He is carrying on the work of Amazing Grace Missions. And it's a tremendous missionary project with hundreds and hundreds of souls being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And after all, that's what it's all about. If you take soul winning out of Christianity, you have nothing but an empty shell left. And that's what it's all about. And anyway, we're happy to have the Gardners here with us today. And he's going to be preaching for us in just a few minutes. So I'm going to make my speaking part as brief as possible. And we've got Charlene. She's going to sing for us here in a moment. And we're going to have a good time today in the Lord. He's already blessed us in our Sunday school hour. And we're just happy that you're here with us today. And like I say, Brother Gardner's going to be preaching. I'll be preaching tonight on the temptations of Jesus. I think that's it. If it's not, it's the morning one. I'm going to be preaching the evening one, whatever it is. No, the Transfiguration, I think it is. But you'll like it. So come out and be with us for the evening service. And Wednesday evening, we'll be having our Bible study at 6 o'clock, as usual. Come out and be with us at that service. And then we've just about decided on a time. You'll find it in the bulletin today about our revival. We've tentatively got that set. I haven't even talked to the evangelist about it yet, but so you're going to know before he does when he's going to be preaching. But we're going to try to start on the 19th of July and go through Wednesday night. And we'll be starting the services Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. So remember that. And anyway, let's go sing another good song here, and then we'll have a special.
We got a Bible reading?
Let's do our Bible reading. Yeah, all right. I was thinking of some things we might have to cut out this morning in the interest of time, but come on.
Good morning, dear church. This is a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Therefore, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, unto singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Praise be to the name of the Lord our God. Amen.
Amen. If you would turn over to number 411. 411. I would be like Jesus. Earthly pleasures vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. He has broken every fetter. I would be like Jesus, that my soul may serve him better. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus, all the way from earth to glory. I would be like Jesus, telling o'er and o'er the story. I would be like Jesus. Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Then in heaven he may meet me. I would be like Jesus. That his word well done may greet me. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. You'd all rise. We're going to sing number 347 for our offering. And would the ushers please come? Amen. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's web and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, His footsteps is all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Bob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. This morning that Charlene came over here to sing for us. We've been communicating this week, and she said if I'd known Brother Gardner was going to be preaching this morning, she would have sung a different song. Well, she didn't know it, and so she's going to sing the same one that the Lord laid on her heart.
Okay. He'll just have to come back, okay?
That's right.
Okay.
Next time.
And then I get a heads up.
Yeah.
No, I have a song that it's not a song that would be sung normally in a regular service, but I like to sing it if I know missionaries are going to be in our group. And I may have sung it here one time before. It was called Thank You. I don't remember if I've done it here or not. Probably not. But anyway, so yeah, I like to take advantage when I know that missionaries are going to be at the service I'm going to sing, so then I'll say thank you. But anyway, as before the service started this morning, I was looking inside your bulletin, and I was just amazed. I'm going to cry. At all the names you have listed there that need prayer, so much cancer. And if it's not you, it's somebody in your family or somebody you know. And I don't even know them, and I'm crying. I'm sorry. Now I got to talk to compose myself. But anyway, so this song goes out to you. You know who you are. And I have a little thing on my bathroom mirror. It says, if life is too much for you to stand, try kneeling. And my bones won't let me kneel anymore. And I know there are others of you out there whose bones won't let you kneel anymore, but we can all bow our hearts. This song I'm going to sing today is Learning to Lean. I think. Well, I always said I had the gift of gab. It may not be spiritual. And I always thought it was because of my maiden name being Wilson. But to this last week, I spent over an hour on the phone with Pastor Wetzel. And I said, nah, no, it's not my maiden name. It's because I'm part Texan. He and my dad were both from Texas. Here we go. That was good. I would tell a joke, but I wouldn't have time to tell it. I have confidence in them. We need to be thankful that there are people who are willing and able, have the knowledge to run sound equipment, because it's not always just an on and off switch. But there's a lot of keying to go. My goodness. For having the gift of gab, it's unusual that I'm speechless. I'm going to need a little more volume, that's for sure. One of the things I like to do each and every week, I'm up at 4:30. Not that I like the hour, but I have to, because I go with a group of team from my church that goes down to the San Diego City Rescue Mission and have chapel every Tuesday morning before 7. They start at 10 till. So I'm slow moving. I get up at 4:30 every Tuesday. But what a blessing it is to see those men come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to see them when they first come into the mission, well, after 3 or 4 months, hey, they're ready to hug and shake hands, and they're really grateful. I'm ready when you are. I'm learning to lean on. sad and brokenhearted. So often I have knelt and I found a peace that is so serene. And all that he asks is a child-like trust and a heart that is learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Sing it with me, would you? Learning to lean. I'm sorry, I'm crying. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm sorry. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to Jesus. When Pastor said from the heart, that's why I couldn't stop crying. I'm sorry.
Learning to lean on Jesus. It's a good lesson to learn, isn't it? My, we're glad you're here today. You're a wonderful congregation. I know you're going to enjoy our service tonight, but we've got time for Brother Johnny to come up here. I would like to hear him sing today. I'm sure he's got a song. You notice I didn't even have to ask him. Better get used to singing. There's going to be an awful lot of it going on in heaven. Read the book of Revelation if you don't believe it.
Practicing that. Amen. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. You know, when I'm at home, sometimes I get thirsty. So I go to the kitchen and get me a glass of water. But other times, I get thirsty spiritually. So I have to go to the throne of grace, amen, and cry out to my Lord and let him give me continuously that everlasting water that never runs dry. For in the desert of sorrow and sin, lo, I faint as I journey alone, with the warfare without and within, with my strength and my hope nearly gone, I thirst, let me drink of the life-giving stream, let me drink, for he's the rock, oh, the cleft made for me, he's the water the water of life. He's the water, oh, the water of life. Thou God of compassion, I pray, let me ever abide in thy sight. Let me drink all thy fount day by day, till I join thee in mansions of light. In my weakness, I turn to the fount, to the rock that was smitten for me. I drink and I joyfully count all my trials of blessing for me. I thirst, oh, let me drink of the life-giving stream. Let me drink, but he's a rock, oh, the cleft made for me. He's the water of life. Now he's my water, he's my water of life. Yes, he is my Lord Jesus. He's my rock. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. One of these days, praise God. I can't tell you what I'm going to do.
We have a couple of young men with us this morning in our congregation who are, they didn't win the lottery or anything, but they're going to get to go to Arizona. Place called Phoenix over there. They're going to get to go to the country over there that's warm, about 110 or 15 degrees over there. And I'm talking about my two great grandsons. Have you seen them? Do you know them? Stand up, boys. Let everybody take a good look at you. See there? Don't they look like their great grandfather? Can't you visualize me when I was that size? I looked about like that too. Anyway, we're happy to have had them over here for a week. And I know on this, their trip out here this summer, they have enjoyed a place called Universal Studios. Did you? Did you like that? Yeah. I haven't been up there since it was, well, it's been a long time. They've got a lot of rides up there that they didn't have when I went. Anyway, I'm putting it off as long as I can, but eventually I'm going to have to get around to letting Brother John come up here. Come on up, guy. We're happy to have you with us today. Appreciate your coming and speaking for us.
Praise the Lord. What a blessing to be here. What a blessing to get to know your pastor. For you that weren't here for Sunday school, I wanted to cover a couple of things quickly. I have some prayer cards out on the table. I want you to get one, and we'll make sure everybody gets one. We need your prayers. And I didn't mention in the Sunday school hour, I'm sure when my dad was here, we mentioned we had a little smiley track we like to give out at the fair. We now have it looking like this. It looks like a business card, but inside we have the colors of the wordless book, and in that it's glossy. It's a real attractive track. The printer of the little smiley book went out of business. We could not get him. For the last couple of years, he's been supplying less and less and less. At one point, we were using well over $1 million a year, handing them out at the fairs all over the world. And then Les, I think 2 years ago, he could only give us about $800,000, and last year about $600,000. And this year, we decided that it was such a headache last year. We had people calling and asking for them, and we did not have them. And he would tell us, he would get them to us, So we'd tell them we'll ship them, and then they wouldn't get to us, and we couldn't ship them, and it was real headache. So we decided to do something different, which I guess was of the Lord, because he went out of business about November of last year. So we had these made up, and we're handing them out in the fairs. I say that because those cost us 4 cents a piece. A million of them will be $40,000 that the Lord is going to have to raise. I wasn't going to say I was going to have to raise it, but I don't. The Lord does it. The Lord puts on people's hearts to give, and we get those out. People get saved with tracts. I hope you know that. People get saved through tracts. I have many testimonies of people who got saved through the old smiley book that we had, and I'm sure we'll have people get saved through these. We go to the fairs, and we hand out tracts. We mainly hand out tracts for people that we can't have time to talk with. If you can imagine 100,000 people coming by you in a day, you can't talk to everybody. So the ones that either they're in a hurry or we're busy, we try to hand them a tract so that they at least get the gospel. They can put it in their pocket. That's why we like this size, is it's easier for them to put in a pocket and take it home with them. We have some people that we even had somebody that liked to give out New Testaments, which is, you know, this size, only smaller, the bearing precious seed. But trouble is, you give somebody this size at a fair, they don't want to carry it around for 5 or 6 hours. So we give them something that they can put in their pocket, and it has the gospel in it, and people do get saved. So, and then I wanted to cover what we actually do at the fairs. We go to the fair, and the mission pays for a 10 by 10 booth at the fair. And our missionaries will come, or local folk, and hopefully we get more local folk to come help us. They'll come and work the booth. And what we do is we have this display right here.
This is the main one we use right now. See, three things that God cannot do. We just set it on the table, in the middle of the table. This way we can have two people work the booth. One person will stand on one side, and one person will stand on the other side. And whichever way the traffic is flowing, we'll just say, hey, come by and see the three things God can't do. Or have you seen the three things God cannot do? Matter of fact, I could train everybody in this building with three questions, be just as good as the soul winner at the booth as I, the president of the Amazing Grace Mission, is, okay? First question is, you asked me if they've seen this. Have you seen the three things God can't do? Get them to come over and look at it. The first question. Let them go through it. Three things God can't do. First thing is, God cannot lie. Second thing is, God cannot change. Third thing is, God cannot let you to heaven unless you've been born again. Question number two. Are you 50, 75, or 100% sure you're going to heaven? Point to that. It says right there, you got to be born again, go to heaven. Are you 50, 75% sure you're going to? And I'll tell you what, we had made it so simple that we'd even put that question up on a banner on the back wall. So, first question, have you seen this? Second question, if you really want to cheat, you can just say, question right there, what's the answer? And they'll read that, and you're going to hear anything and everything. You're going to hear 10%, you're going to hear 99%, any number, it doesn't really matter. Because we know, the Bible says you can know for sure, right? Does everybody know for sure you're going to heaven? If you don't, we can show you, because the Bible tells us that. Ask if they're 50, 75. There's question number two. Here's the third question. You can be a certified AGM worker. Ask them, can I show you how you can know for sure? Three questions. Have you seen this? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Can I show you? And we got tables back here and Bibles. And we just sit down and show them how they can know for sure. If you've never led anybody to the Lord, we've got tracts. You can go through tracts. We've got plans of salvation. That's not a hindrance. But we use this. People come by. They come back, and we show them how they can know for sure.
And people get saved at the fairs. We get their name and their address, because if someone got saved in the Chula Vista area, we would want them to be right here at this church. We'd want them to come here and hopefully get baptized. We'd want them to come here and learn good teaching from your pastor, grow in the Lord. You know, the Bible says we should have fruit that remains or bears fruit. We want people to get saved so that they'll start drawing other people to Him. I have a testimony. I think it's on the back of our brochure, the AGM brochure. On the back of it, at the Kansas State Fair, somebody come by and got saved, and the church went and visited that person. And make a long story short, about 12 people out of that family got saved, not at the fair, but from the follow-up. They came and joined the church. They had a school, and they had about 30 people come to his church from that one person getting saved at the fair. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but that just shows you how the Lord can work in lives around the world and draw people in. That's what we do. We do it all over the United States, and now we're doing it around the world. We're doing it in 12 foreign countries, and as I said in Sunday school, we're going to pick up at least one more, maybe three more, countries around the world. Everywhere we go, this works. I went to Africa, and I thought, boy, I wonder if this will work in Africa. You know it works in Africa. Had Muslims come by, I thought, boy, I wonder what the Muslim, I wonder what will happen. You know what? You know how Muslims people get saved? Just like you did. The gospel is universal. Everybody gets saved the same way. They have to realize they're a sinner. They have to realize Jesus died for their sins, that he is the Savior, and we have to accept him as our Savior. People get saved all over the world the same way that you did. And I kind of sensed a theme here, and maybe it's because of the message that I feel the Lord's put on my heart, but I kind of sensed a spirit of prayer. And a couple of you mentioned prayer, and I really thought your song was about learning to lean on the Lord. I was really thinking of prayer in a prayer mode, and I know it can be wider than that. It is wider than that. But I want to speak to you this morning on the fact that, and I'm going to really, really personalize this, about how you need to pray for me, John Gardner, the fair ministry, okay? Matter of fact, the Bible says that it's a sin if you don't pray. I want to start off, I want you to turn in the Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. 1 Samuel 12, 23. I think many people believe that, it'd be nice if I prayed for my missionaries. It'd be nice if you prayed for me. I believe the Bible tells us we must pray for one another. And I actually want to show you that I believe it's a sin if you don't pray. If you don't, and I'm going to personalize it. I believe it's a sin if you don't pray for me. If I were such a godly person, I didn't need your prayers, that would be one thing. But I'm not, folks. I am not. I need your prayers personally, but also as the president of Amazing Grace Mission, I need your prayers. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. This is Samuel talking here. 1 Samuel 12, 23. The Bible says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." Something I just noticed this morning when I was going over this is it says, I always thought it said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord if I don't pray for you." But it says, "in ceasing to pray for you." Did you know you should should always be praying for me. Always praying for your pastor here. You should not stop. You should not stop. I don't know why this is so sets in my mind, but I went over to Africa to start this work right here, and I went to Ghana. And long story short, when I was in Ghana, I was arrested. I was arrested on a Saturday, and I was with another missionary, and they took us to the jail. And the thought come to me, and I'm sure it was Satan, but the thought come to me, it said, it's Saturday. All of the supporters over there, probably, you know how we get in routines? We get up, hopefully you get up, you read your word, you read the word of God, you pray for your pastor, you pray for your family, you pray. But on Saturdays, it's kind of different. People do different things. You know, they might go to the Universal World on a Saturday or things like that. And I thought, oh, man, all of my supporters over there on Saturday, they probably didn't pray for me today. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. The Bible says, do not cease. It says it's a sin if I cease praying for you. Pastor, I have a card in my motorhome that looks a little bit like this on the back. It doesn't have all this writing, but it has, every month of the year, and it has every day in that month. And every day, starting 2 days ago when we got here, I'm praying for this church and your pastor. And I will do it the rest of the year. And it's because I believe your pastor needs prayer every day. I believe this church needs prayer every day. Why is that? Because Satan wants to destroy this church right here. I won't name other names, but there are other churches in here that are not a high priority in his attack scheme. This one is high. This one is high. If for no other reason, you support Amazing Grace Mission. We saw over 82,000 people make a profession of salvation last year. You don't think that makes Satan mad? He's going to go after anybody that has anything to do with us. So I pray for you because you guys are praying for us, but I don't want to cease. That's my dad came up with this. And I think the best thing about this is it's so that I don't cease. You know, some days I wake up and I've got things in my mind and I want to do this, and or we travel a lot. And sometimes, like when we came over here, I left Yuma, Arizona at 6 in the morning because it gets hot over there. Them boys know where the temperature's going to be over there. 110, it was 100 and supposed to have been 114 the day we left. So we left at 6 o'clock so we could get over here before the heat of the day. Some days I wake up and I'm all ready to go. You've got to go. Man, I don't want to cease in praying for you. If I had said, you know what, we got to travel today. I'm just not going to pray today. I'm not going to pray for this church. Oh, that's wrong. That's Satan to say, no prayer. I'm going to get this church to say. I pray every day. The Bible says it's a sin if we cease praying one for another. And I've already heard many of you say, oh, yeah, you're. And it thrills my heart that you know who I am and that you know about our work. And many of you have said that you do pray for us. But I want to remind you, it's a sin if you stop praying for me. Amen. It's a sin if you cease praying for Amazing Grace Mission, the soul ministry. And John Gardner, John and Paula Gardner need your prayer. It might not be a big thing to you, but when we left Tennessee, coming out west here, we knew we was gonna, I won't be back to Tennessee until October. When we left Tennessee, we knew of three of our family members, my wife, two uncles, and I have a cousin, which I'm closer than most cousins with. All three of them have terminal cancer. Now, I know it's not a big deal, but I like to be there to help people in those times. Matter of fact, the day we left, it was the day or the day after we left, the first one died. Not just that he died, but we have aunts that need to know that they're still loved and prayed for. And you know, that's hard leaving when you know you're not going to see these people again. Her second uncle, when was that? Maybe a week and a half ago? He passed away. He's our neighbor. Satan kind of deals with, you should have been there. You ought to go. You ought to be there. You need to pray for us because we battle those things. You ought to pray for your pastor. I know he lost his wife, and it's been a year ago, but that doesn't mean everything's rosy now. I imagine he wakes up mornings, and he misses her as if it happened yesterday. You need to pray every day. Every day. Don't sin by ceasing to pray for your pastor. Don't sin by ceasing to pray for me. I need your prayers. I'm not a Superman. There are other verses that we know. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Same word there. Pray without ceasing. It says don't forget about John and Amazing Grace Mission. And I'm sure it's easier, but don't forget about your pastor. Every day, pray for your pastor. Luke 18:1. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Going back to fainting, you know, getting up in the morning, I've got things to do. And I found if I don't pray in the morning, it's really, really hard to get those things done the rest of the day. I mean, your schedule just fills up. Then Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And that's not even part of the message. Praying with supplication in the Spirit. Oh, I'm so thankful in the last 2 days I've gotten to know your pastor. And I think when I pray now, I'm actually going to have supplication. Because I don't know about him, but I've got a little bond with him. And he's in my heart now. And when I pray for this church, I'm going to have supplication for your pastor and this church. And I've met a couple of you, and you're part of me too. And pray with supplication and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Another reason why that it's a sin if you don't pray for me or pray for your pastor is it leaves the door open for other sins. In Mark 14:38, it says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Now, this is, I've always thought as a one-way street. You need to pray or you'll enter into temptation, but it can also be you need to be praying or the other guy will enter into temptation too. You need to pray. You know what? I'm a man just like the rest of you men, and I face the same temptations everybody else does. I need you to pray for me so that you shut that door of sin in my life. I don't want that. I don't want that. Pastor probably knows, I know of 3 or 4 pastors that aren't in the ministry because sin got into their life. Oh, it's a sin if we don't pray for these pastors and let them fall into other sins. Another proof that it's sin, if you look, the greater the Christian in the Bible, the more they prayed. I mean, we can go to the top and look at Jesus. Now, why did Jesus need to pray? He was perfect. And yet, man, everywhere you read in there, he was going to pray. We were talking about his trip to Israel and how they believe Jesus went all the way up to the Mount Hebron, right? And many times it said he prayed all night. Why would a perfect man, the Son of God, have to pray all night? I think he was praying for us. John 17 says, I not only pray for these, but I pray for the others. In other words, he was talking about us. He said, I'm praying for those next generations down the road that come along. I'm praying for them. Boy, you know, I don't think I've ever prayed for the next generation. I haven't gotten over praying for the people that are alive now, but there's a generation coming up. If the Lord tarries, we need to be praying for them. It's a sin, folks, if we don't pray one for another, if we cease praying. I need your prayers. Your pastor needs, this church needs unceasingly prayers given towards it and for it. Do you believe prayer changes things? Do you really believe that? I believe this church does from what I sense from this church. Then we need to pray. Why would Satan tempt us not to pray? Why would Satan tempt me? John, just get up and go and don't get up an hour earlier and spend that time in prayer. Just skip it and you can do it later. Why is that so important to him? Because prayer has power. Power that he can't touch. And we need to grab a hold of something that Satan can't touch and use it for our benefit. And that's praying one for another. Pray ceaselessly one for another. Paul, he was always, every epistle he wrote, he's talking about, I'm praying with you, I'm praying for you, praying without ceasing for you. Mentioning some of their requests. And then, what are the results? There are results if you don't pray or if you have prayerlessness, if you cease to pray. One thing is Christians don't get what they should have. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Now we could talk about the bread we're going to eat this afternoon, or we could talk about the bread of life, the water of life that we need every day to go on. It all comes from him. But we need to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. You need to pray tomorrow morning for your pastor because he needs the daily bread for tomorrow. I need the daily bread for tomorrow. We're going to be traveling up around Los Angeles area. We need safety tomorrow as we travel. Driving a big motorhome, pulling the vehicle through LA is not my idea of fun. We need your prayers tomorrow. Don't cease tomorrow. Because if you don't, I might not make it safely. I might not make it safely. It might depend upon your prayers. You know, James 5:14, is any sick among you? What does it say? Let him call on for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. I believe many people are sick because we're not getting prayers for them. The results of prayerlessness is people are sick. Here's one that just fits me to a T, and you know the verse, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that it giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I'm going to confess, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. You know, one of the things I'm trying to do with Amazing Grace Mission is to expand out west again. At one point, we were in the San Diego County Fair. We were in Imperial Fair down here in Imperial. We were in the Date Festival. We were in the Los Angeles County Fair. And there's some other smaller ones that we were in. And we're trying to get back in. I need wisdom how to do those. I mean, you have to balance. You don't have the money. And you don't have the workers. And you have to get in. And there's a lot of, I need wisdom. If you lack wisdom, if you don't pray for me, I'm not going to have the wisdom I need to make those decisions. Man came by here yesterday while I was talking to your pastor, talking about solar power. Your pastor needs wisdom. Yeah, it might be a small, minor thing, but your pastor needs wisdom. He needs wisdom on many things that comes up for the church here. So, James 4:2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Help me. Help me by asking for things. You know, we talked in the Sunday school hour. William Carey said we should expect great things from God, and we should attempt great things for God. Ye have not because ye ask not. You know, up until maybe 6 months ago, I wasn't praying that we would get into more fairs in the West Coast. You know what? We weren't in any more fairs in the West Coast because we weren't praying. I'm praying now for 50 new workers to help out West here. 50. You'd say, boy, that's a lot. No. I could put 50 workers to work and still have fairs that we couldn't get missionaries to. So help us. Help us. Help us. Another thing about prayerlessness is it reveals our wickedness. You know, we tend to do what we enjoy. I can spend hours doing things I enjoy. I can spend an hour, hour and a half at a restaurant just sitting around and eating when I want and enjoying the food and things like that. My wife especially, but I enjoy it too. I could spend probably all day at the beach. We have a natural affection for the beach. We could go to the sandy beach and stay there all day. We tend to do things that we enjoy. And if we don't pray very much, that kind of shows that we don't enjoy it. We don't enjoy it. Do we pray out of duty? Pastor, I'm afraid that maybe some days in the next year, I'm going to pray for you, but it's going to be out of duty. Because I'm going to look at this and say, oh, Chula Vista Bible Baptist. Oh, okay. Pastor Wetzel, yeah, I'll pray for him. But it should be out of a love, out of a desire, out of a fervent yearning to help you guys. That's the way it should be for me. And I'll take it anyway, but you should be praying for me because you really love and care for what we're doing. If God were the center of our affections, would we do less eating, sleeping, and praying? Less sleeping, eating, and playing, and probably more Bible reading and more prayer, more witnessing. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Our affection should be on things on above, things, heavenly things, spiritual things. Hey, your pastor's a great spiritual man. But you know what? He still needs your prayers. He needs you. He needs you to pray for him. Keep his eyes on the Lord. Another reason why it reveals our wickedness, is because it proves our unbelief in God when we don't pray. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, or prays, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why do the lost not pray? Because they don't believe God is out there. They don't believe God answers prayer. Do you believe God can do anything? Do you believe God is concerned about your pastor? Do you believe God is concerned about souls being saved at the fairs? If you really believe that, you'll be praying. You'll be praying. It proves our unbelief. One of my favorite verses, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Prayer is proof of faith. How can they call on him who they haven't believed? You got to believe in him. When I sit down with someone and give them the plan of salvation, if they get to a point and just don't want to pray, it's because they really don't believe what I just told them about the Lord, about how he died for their sins, how he's the Son of God, about how he's the Savior, and about how he wants to come in their life. If they say, no, I don't think I'll care, that's because they didn't believe that. Prayer is proof of your belief that God answers prayer. When you pray for me every morning, every day, you're proving to God that you believe he can do things in my life, in this mission. Pray for your pastor. You believe that God can keep him healthy, keep him strong, keep him spiritually straight in the Lord. Keep blessing this church. Before I met my lovely wife, I had a roommate, and he got married before me, but while he was courting his fiance, one time he talked with her 7 hours on the phone. Now, at the time, that just seemed like a foreign country to me. Why would you want to talk on the phone for 7 hours to someone? But now that I met my wife and I found someone that I love, I can understand that. The fact of the matter is he spent 7 hours because he loved that person, because he wanted to know more about that person. I'm asking you to pray for me just for a minute or two. You don't have to love me that much, but just pray for me a minute or two each day, please, please. Maybe you ought to pray for your pastor longer. Maybe you need to ask them how long they're praying. That'll tell you how much they love you, pastor. They better not do that. But please, please pray. I got some suggestions how to overcome prayerlessness. As I've already said, you really need to set aside a time early in the day for prayer and Bible reading and studying. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Do you want to find God? Do you want to experience God? Do you want to find him in your life? Proverbs 8:17 says, those that seek me early shall find me. The Bible true? Is that a true statement? Seek him early, and you're going to find him. Another way to overcome prayerlessness is get in the habit of praying about everything. We Christians have a tendency, if someone comes up and says, you know, my aunt is sick, and what do we say? He says, oh, well, I'll pray for them. You know what would be better? Said, let's pray right now, and just start praying right then for those. I'm really guilty of that. I meet a lot of people at church, and they'll tell me needs, and I'll say, no, I'll pray for that. But I try to get away from that because sometimes I forget. Pray about things. I mean, you can pray when you're driving down the road. I hope you realize that. Keep your eyes open. But you can pray going down the road. You can pray at work. You can pray in the bathroom, taking a shower. You can anywhere. Prayer works. Pray about everything. Don't wait until it becomes life-threatening cancer to pray for family members. Don't wait until a man is caught in sin to start praying that he'll get right with the Lord. Pray for him now. Pray about everything. Pray as things come up. Anytime, anywhere, for any reason. And then get in the habit of just talking with God. Every so often, I'll hear somebody pray and it sounds so formal. You know that what that tells me? It tells me that person probably doesn't pray a whole lot. The more you pray, the more informal or the more intimate it becomes with the Lord. Someone told me that they heard John R. Rice pray, and it was like Jesus was standing right there beside him. He was just talking to Jesus right beside him. We should be that way. We should be that way. I want you to talk with God about everything. Don't wait until it's something that, you know, is something major. Talk with God about everything. And then there are biblical examples of when and why and how to pray. Jacob prayed all night. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many people have prayed all night here? Esther prayed and fasted for 3 days. I wonder how many people have prayed and fasted for 3 days. The apostles did it for 10 days in Acts 1. Daniel did it for 3 weeks. You know, and this is not the topic, but there is something about fasting and prayer. I mean, somehow that is so much more effective than just praying. It won't hurt my feelings if you want to pray and fast for me. I need the prayer. I need your help. I want you to know that it truly is a sin if you don't pray for me. We're in this together. So if you're not praying for me, you're really not helping yourself any. I'm trying to get out here to reach people in San Diego County. That's going to help you. Anybody getting saved in San Diego County is not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. Might not be direct, but it'll help the community. We're going to try to get in more fairs in California. Paul and I are going to go to the California State Fair. You say, well, that's Sacramento. That's a long way off. Hey, there might be people from San Diego there. Hey, we might lead someone to the Lord that's in the government and might make a difference in the government here. You never know. You never know. I need your prayers, but boy, it's a sin if you don't pray for me, because it's going to hurt all of us, myself and you too. I covet your prayers. I ask that you would pray for Amazing Grace Mission, for John and Paula Gardner. I got a card, makes it real easy. Mark it down every day. And then your church here, your pastor and the church. You've got a lot of things to pray about. Remember, it's a sin. It's a sin if we cease praying one for another. You can say, oh, I've prayed for you, Pastor. Well, do it without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time. And Father, I know that this is a good group of people that love you, and I'm sure they are a praying church. But I doubt if we're all where you want us to be. So take this and encourage their hearts. I meant it as an encouragement and an exhortation. We're messing with spiritual dynamite when we talk about prayer, Lord. And help us to load up with our dynamite and use it in a great and mighty way for thy kingdom. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. All glory to Jesus Christ, whose name we come. Amen. Amen. Pastor, or...
I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment, but first I have an announcement to make. I haven't said anything about it before, but years ago we used to have Tennessee came up on this. We used to have a lady that played our piano. Her name was Jimmy Lou Kaywood. Jimmy Lou had polio when she was a child, but she was our pianist for years. I personally have known the family for over 50 years now, I suppose. But they were both graduates of Tennessee Temple Schools. And Jean passed away day before yesterday. They've been married 87 years, and we'll be having his funeral out at La Vista Cemetery on probably July the 1st or 2nd. We don't have full information for you yet. But I wanted to let you know so that you can be praying for the Kaywood family, if you will. Gene was always been a friend of mine, and he used to lead singing for us years and years ago. So remember the Kaywood family in your prayers. Someone here today may need to come and make a public profession of their faith in Christ. We're going to have an invitation and give you an opportunity to do that today. Someone may need to come. The Lord spoke into your heart to come and to join the Bible Baptist Church by statement or by letter or whatever. If the Lord leads you, we'll sing an invitation hymn, give you that opportunity to do whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart. So let's stand together now and turn to number
497.
497.
Just as I am without one plea, but that
Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal, everlasting life in heaven. It's a gift. Will you receive it today? Will you come? Will you come? One more verse, please.
Just as I am in waiting to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you. Also be in prayer for Brother Raul and Margaret. They're not here today. They are over in Arizona. Everybody goes to Arizona from California. Why they would want to go this time of year, I don't know.
Grandkids.
That, exactly. That's the answer right there. All right. Anyway, we're glad you came today. God bless you for coming. Remember the service tonight. Brother David, would you word our benediction?
Dear Heavenly Father, it's been such a blessing to be here and to just fellowship one with another, Lord. We thank you and praise you for folks like John and Paula, Lord, who surrendered their lives, Lord, to witness for you, dear Heavenly Father. And we just ask you to continue to bless them and bless their ministry and bless their traveling, Lord. Give them traveling mercies and just be with them, Lord. We thank you and praise you that you've been blessing that ministry, and we just ask you to continue, Lord, to do that. Lord, we thank you and praise you for our church here, for all the members here, for all the people that come, Lord, that you would continue to bless everyone that's here and be with us, Lord. We have so many prayer requests, so many people to pray for, Lord. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to pray without ceasing and get on our knees and pray, and Lord, because we know that you answer prayer, and that's what we're asking for, is answered prayer, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for that. Lord, we just pray for our revival that's coming up, Lord, that you would bless Brother Langley as he prepares for that. Lord, help us to tell people to come out and to hear what you've given him to preach to us, Lord, so that we can be revived. We pray for revival for our country, Lord. There's so many bad things happening in our country, Lord. We pray that you would change, help us to change things, Lord. We're here, Lord, and we should be the salt of the earth here, Lord. Help us to be that, Lord. Help us to stand against those things that are against your word, Lord, and help us to use your word to fight against them, Lord. And we just thank you for that also. Lord, bless the remainder of our day. Bless all of us, Lord, and help us to continue to witness for you. And we thank you and ask you to help us to come again tonight, Lord, so that we may worship you. And we just thank you for all you've done today, Lord. If there's anyone here, Lord, that does not know you, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that they would not wait, Lord, that they would talk to someone, Lord, and receive you as their Lord and Savior. And we just thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.